Good evening, church. I pray that's refreshing to your heart as it is to mine. I pray the Lord receives our praise. Would you pray with me? And then we will dig into Proverbs chapter 16. Holy Father, would you please hear our prayer? Would you heal our land? Would you heal our state? Would you bring us back into fellowship, Lord, we pray. Lord, would you speak to us tonight through your word, as you promised that you will, as your word is living and powerful, Lord, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it would pierce our hearts, speak to our souls, encourage our minds tonight. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Grateful for you guys that are joining us. We've got a couple people on our technical team tonight that we may get some comment from. That'll be good. I'll try to reiterate that into the thing because we haven't fixed these mics yet. We got to get these going. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 16. The title in my Bible is Wisdom is Better Than Gold. And again, we'll do this as we have where we are unable to gather right now and do kind of our circle of discussion and kind of fetter this out. You know, read what it says and then give practical application to our lives today. Certainly so much of that right now and so relevant to the Proverbs as we're seeking wisdom. So I wish that we could do it like that. I'll continue to read the New Living and the New King James, give us a little bit wider perspective on that. But long to be able to gather. So Proverbs chapter 16, the first verse says, "We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives." So I'll just stick to those two verses and I'll read that again in the New King James. "The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits." Now this is one that I really wish that we could gather. I really wish that we could talk about it and all of the different ideas that are going on today. In a situation that is unique in this generation in that we are always facing localized crisis. And that might be a crisis in your own life. And as you read through maybe a passage of scripture that you've read through 20 times, that today in the midst of your trial, the Spirit speaks to you in a new way. And it gives relevant application to the situation that you're in. Or maybe your community. Maybe you've been in one of these mill towns like we are in Old Town and your mill has closed or your mill has reopened or something is going on that affects you locally. But we're in a time now that affects us globally and affects every industry, every walk of life, every church. And let me just say that. Would you guys please pray for wisdom for your church leaders, this church, I mean the church as a whole, but also extend grace because there is application. And one of the difficulties in a situation like this is we can... verse 2, be pure in our own eyes. So much so that, listen, I'm a patriot, right? Not the necessarily the football kind, but I enlisted in the United States Army Reserve when I was 17 years old, between my junior year and senior year of high school, and been a sworn law enforcement officer for over 25 years now. And we'll get to that at the end when it talks about the value of a woolly head, gray hair. Very patriotic. I love this country. I'm blessed that I was born here. You know, but in this issue, in this particular issue, I see a lot of guys that are letting those things lead them, and then they go to this book, and they're absolutely able to find scriptures on both sides of this issue that consider all of the concerns in it. And this is a situation where I love the Proverbs because they keep us mindful of these things, that the intent of the heart and motivations of people may be truly so pure, but then the Lord examines the motives. We read about that, believer, for you and I. You know, in the end, it's not a judgment of sin. Our sin has been judged and paid for, and that is a gift that's been given to us freely to us. It cost Jesus everything. But in the end, the things that we do, our works, will be weighed and burned up, those things. I can't see somebody do something and judge or know their motive or intent. Because can't we do things that seem so right or are so right? You know, maybe you serve in your community or you serve in your church, but there's a little bit of motive of, well, if I do this thing, maybe they'll see this. Or if I pick up this trash when Pastor Rosaire's looking, maybe I'll get to do something special in youth group, or maybe I'll get to become a deacon, or something like that. There's that, I don't know, grossness in all of us at times where even though we do the right thing, the motive for that might not be love, or it might not be service to God. You know, certainly do we do those same things when nobody's watching. But for the believer, those things that we do are ultimately judged by the Lord and the motives behind them and the purity of heart behind those things. So there may be, you know, hey, you did this and this was a wonderful thing and we'll put that in this pile over here. You know, and then the 90% of everything else that you did is over here and it's going to be burned up. And maybe that's just my record. You know, I look at the motive of my own heart at times. And that's why I love these scriptures. You know, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives, or the Lord weighs the spirits. And then we're encouraged in the next verse, verse 3. Let me stagnate on verse 2 a little bit. Can't we justify things sometimes that we believe in strongly, or rationalize? I mean, I tell you what, marriage counseling, I hear rationalization all the time. Well, I did this, or I know, Pastor, this thing isn't right that I do, but if she only did this, then I wouldn't be forced to do there. And if I do this, then it keeps me from that. Or in the same way that my husband doesn't do this and this and this, so I'm not going to obey him, or I'm not going to let him lead. He's a spiritual midget. Or any of those things when the scriptures give directives to you and the scriptures give directives to me. And that's what I mean by we can sometimes use scripture to support our ideas. But remember, the Lord examines all of that. The Lord weighs the spirits. He examines the motives. So we're encouraged in verse 3 to commit our actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Or commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts, New King James, and your thoughts will be established. So if I'm gonna pour myself into his word, and I'm gonna say, Lord, I feel so strongly this way, or everybody I love is doing this or doing that, and I want to be led by you and spend time with him. We talked about that at the end of last week when I encouraged you guys to pray and maybe fast, maybe fast from social media. I know some of you did that. Because I got a bunch of messages. How do I do this? How do I delete that? And that's a good thing. I pray that you heard from the Lord in that time. But if we commit our works to the Lord, or we commit our actions to the Lord, he'll establish our thoughts. And then it says, and your plans will succeed, or your thoughts will be established, right? Because if we commit our actions to the Lord, and sometimes, you know, we have to take a step of faith and start moving in a work, start doing a work, in order to know if his hand's on it or not, if he's going to bless it or not. And sometimes it's, Lord, I really felt that you were leading me in this way, and I started in this way, and the Lord didn't bless it. You know, it didn't grow. So then we re-examine that. And that's something, you know, we struggle at times to say, what is the Lord's will for me? What is the Lord's will for this church, maybe? What direction should we be going in? And one of the things I like to do is look out there and see what God is blessing. You know, what is he already blessing? What is the Lord already doing? And let's jump on board with that. You know, let's follow his blessing. So commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts. He'll establish your thoughts. Verse 4 says, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked for a day of disaster. New King James says, the Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Now, I chuckle at that because I caution you, that doesn't mean that the Lord's made everything for his own purpose. He's made the good and he's made evil just so these men can live their whole life and be punished, you know, and be cast into the fires of hell. But it does tell us, guys, that God is sovereign over all, right? The Lord has made all for his own purposes, even the wicked for the day of disaster. The Lord will use that, and he's sovereign even over the wicked. Every single one of us will submit to the Lord. Every single one of us will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. The worst of the worst, the biggest criminal that you know, at day of judgment, will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 5 says, the Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished. New King James says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Let that sit for a minute. I mean, we talk about, from cover to cover in this book, we talk about pride. And pride goeth before a fall, and pride this, and pride that, and we're warned against pride. But when you want to know the heart of the Lord, guys, I mean, think about the severity of these words, and you can see it in both translations. The Lord detests the proud, and everyone proud in heart, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. I don't ever want to be that. An abomination, I don't ever want to be sickening to my Savior. And the problem is for us, men in particular, is pride runs through our veins. And it's not always like, I am the greatest of all time. Sometimes it's even, I'm not the greatest of all time. Sometimes it's false humility, and we're prideful in that. Sometimes we'll get a little bit further into this proverb and even into the next one. Sometimes we can be prideful in our comparison to somebody else. You know, or it talks about murmuring and being whisperers towards the end of this proverb. You know, if we speak against somebody else, and that's why I'm saying this is such a time for grace, because there are going to be brothers and sisters that you desperately love that aren't going to agree with you 100%. You know, it's a time for grace. And if you take a prideful stance on your position or your stand, it says that's sickening to God. Even if you're right. You know, even if God's will is one particular way in this, which I think God is all over this issue, right? God wants to use this issue for his glory. And there's such opportunity in this for glory to be given to men. I know the press are like hounds right now. Want to talk to people about what you're doing or what you're doing. And my caution in that is, I don't want to draw attention to any particular church or a man, me. Because in the end, who gets the glory? You know, does it go to God or does it go to something else or someone else? If a proud heart makes the Lord sick, be careful, you know, and give grace to your brothers and sisters. It says that the rest of verse 5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, or the Lord detests the proud. New Living says they will surely be punished. New King James adds this other element. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Have you noticed that? Kind of, the humble attract the humble, the proud attract the proud. We kind of gather like-mindedness. But particularly pride against the Lord. You know, they join forces. Have you ever seen, I mentioned enlisting when I was 17 years old, when you go in any of the military forces, there's a cadence that you sing. You know, I won't sing it, but basically they give you $100 and they take back 99. There's opportunity to buy stuff all over the place. And no matter what division you're in, there's these T-shirts all over. Rangers never die. They just go to hell to regroup. Or Marines, kind of the same thing. And there's that camaraderie sometimes in evil and in pride. I think about the Battle of Armageddon and the Valley of Megiddo. You guys, when you think of that, right, there's going to be a great army from the European area. Then there's going to be a great army from the east, kind of like Asian area. And then from the far north, think like Russia. And they're all going to come down to that area, the Valley of Megiddo, because they despise and hate each other so much. And there's going to be this big battle. But they hate something or someone even more. Our Savior, right? Jesus. So they align. They form this alliance in their hate. And then, I mean, we call it the Battle of Armageddon, but if you read that, it's really not much of a battle, right? The Lord speaks something, and it's over. It's done. And blood rises to the horse's bridle. I don't, Valley of Megiddo, what is that, like 165 miles long or something? The Lord speaks, something comes out of his mouth, and it's done. The Lord detests the proud. He finds the proud in heart an abomination. And even though they gather and join their forces, none will go unpunished. Verse 6 says, "Unfailing love and faithfulness make atonement for sin. By fearing the Lord, people avoid evil." Or New King James, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Atonement for sin. "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity," or "atonement is provided for sin." Any of you guys want to give comment on that? Or atonement. Anybody heard an explanation of that? I deleted Facebook on my phone, so I can't see your comments online. But I've heard that explained as at-one-ment. That atonement, you know, when there's complete forgiveness of sin, that we can be at-one-ment with God. Not we are our own God, kind of thing. There's some scripture here that talks about riches, and we'll get into that when we get there. But the freedom and the grace of forgiveness, fearing the Lord, people avoid evil. How do I avoid evil? How do I stop sinning? Understand God is God and you are not. Understand who a holy Lord is. Verse 7 says, "When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them." New King James, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." That's an interesting proverb, gang, because, you know, I hear many say they hated the Lord Jesus and I want him to hate me too. You know, and there's biblical support for that. If they're hating you for the same reason that they hated Jesus, you know, not because you're being a jerk or a loudmouth. You know, I never see that of Jesus here. You know, when people saw the Messiah, when people saw Jesus, I mean, we're told to be salt and light, right? When people saw Jesus and they saw holiness, that's like looking into an awful mirror. I mean, your life reflected to that. I mean, this building, I wish you guys were here. But this building's always the example that I use in this. The side of this building right now you know, that we labored and painted a couple of years ago, and now the paint's faded, and the Lord has blessed us to build a brand new children's ministry wing. I think we used for 2 weeks before the shutdown. But like that new creation there, I was telling our builder today, makes this look more of an eyesore. You know, and when people would see Jesus and see holiness and see righteousness, they hated him for it because they were not those things. You know, but this says, when people's lives are at peace, when people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. Again, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord. So, I mean, by this scripture, and again, the Proverbs give us principles. You can point out this example in 100,000 where it didn't work out this way. But when people's lives please the Lord, so in principle, then even your enemies should be at peace with them. And it speaks a little further here as to the language that we might use. There's a Bible commenter named Ross. He says, a lifestyle pleasing to God disarms social hostility. You know, have you ever come across anyone that has all these preconceived ideas and notions of who you are when you say you're a Christian? You know, or maybe you don't say you're a Christian because you know kind of what the thought's going to be or the judgment's going to be. You know, I know when I meet a stranger, if I lead with, oh, I'm a pastor, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, they typically form all kinds of ideas about who I am, and it's usually has nothing to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with what they've seen in other Christians. So this passage says, when you live your life in such a way that pleases God, part of the evidence of that is there will be peace with your enemies. Verse 8 says, better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. Or better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. You know, the ability to, I don't know everybody's story. I don't know who will ever listen to this, you know, today or down the road. But maybe you have been haunted by sin in your life or past actions that you can't take back. And even though maybe you're a completely different person today, the consequences of those actions stand. You know, and the peace and freedom that's available, better to have little with godliness, the peace and freedom to lay your head down at night on your pillow and know that you're at peace with the Lord. Know that he's not angry with you. Know that there's not a day of judgment coming. Know that your life is pleasing to him. There's no wealth, there's no riches that can possibly compare with that. Verse 9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Or a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's our prayer, right? We desire that. We make all kinds of plans every day because we have to. We live in a very busy society and there's a lot of things going on and we decide how we're going to do this. And we hope and pray that the Lord directs us in those things or says, no, you're not going to do that. It's interesting to me when we pray, Lord, let your will be done, or show us how to do this, and then it doesn't work out in our way. Or things go in a way that we don't agree to. You know, and oftentimes that is the Lord directing our steps. Or is the Lord closing a door? There's all kinds of analogies. The Lord doesn't close a door unless he opens a window or something. I don't know. I want a double door, full semi can drive through, so I know what I'm not guessing. one of the things of having gray hair and walking with the Lord for a while, I can say that the Lord doesn't close doors or say no unless he's got a better plan. You know, unless he has something better for us, something better for him, for his glory. You know, sometimes wait is really, really hard for us. Even for us with gray hair. I mean, we didn't grow up so much in the instantaneous society, but we still use microwavable oatmeal and stuff now and want instant gratification and fast results and get mad when internet takes 2 seconds, when I can think back when it would take me a half an hour to check an email over the phone line. You know, sometimes when God says wait or says no, it's because he's got something better. Verse 10, the king speaks with divine wisdom. He must never judge unfairly, or divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Listen up, leaders, please. Verse 11, the Lord demands accurate scales and balances. He sets the standards for fairness, or the Lord demands accurate scales and balances. He sets, same thing, right? Verse 11, honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. I think that's repeated again from Proverbs 14. Be honest in your business dealings. Verse 12, a king detests wrongdoing, for his rule is built on justice. Again, verse 12 in New King James, it's an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. If that's so for our world leaders or for kings or governors or presidents or those involved, magistrates, any of those things, how much more so for leaders within the church? Verse 13. The king is pleased with words from righteous lips. He loves those who speak honestly. New King James, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. Verse 14, the anger of the king is a deadly threat. The wise will try to appease it, or as messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. So there's a very legitimate threat there. Romans 13 speaks of that, fearing those in authority. You know, do right so that you won't have to fear them. Verse 15, when the king smiles, there is life, for favor refreshes like a spring rain. Or New King James, in the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. Verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? Or New King James, how much better to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver? That sort of takes on a different life in the age that we're in today. You know, we live in a nation of greed in America. In one that's encouraged, you know, and strived for. We want more. We want to have as much as our neighbors, actually just a little bit more. Right? And the things of wisdom and good judgment, you know, that's good and that's a strong thing and it can be used in business, but if I can just inherit it instead, you know, all the better. But it's interesting, you know, you hear all these stories about when you're a kid or different countries or communist nations and all that, but today, you can go to your grocery store, and it doesn't matter what's in your bank account. There's a line outside for toilet paper and for meat, and your money buys you nothing. It's like these lines, it's a daily workout, me knocking my way to the front of the line, and if I get there early, the old people aren't quite as tough. I can get right up there. It's not true. I should have been shaking my head no, right, so this isn't taken out of context later. But wisdom and good judgment far outweigh gold and silver. We see our markets go up and down. I mean, we've seen the highest markets of all time within the last year, right? And we've seen all of that go away. all of those gains in just days. And now we see the volatility of it. And oil. A lot of you guys remember gas at 99 cents and remember gas at almost $5 a gallon. You know, now we're like $1.50 or whatever around here. Wisdom and good judgment, so much more valuable than gold. Verse 17, the path of the virtuous leads away from evil. Whoever follows that path is safe. Or New King James, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Verse 18, pride again. Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, haughty, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So much could be and should be said on that. Listen, pride always leads to humiliation. Maybe not that day, but it always leads to humiliation. God hates it. He says so. So verse 19, it says, better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud. New King James says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. To divide the spoil, to take the gainings of that and divvy it up, but be among the proud, prideful. Right? The scripture says that we should associate ourselves with the humble, not with the prideful. And it may be, you know, the proud are often proud because they found some success or some recognition or some glory. And scripturally, it's a vain glory. But it may seem like right now, that's kind of a good group to hang with. I don't mean right now, our current pandemic situation, but I just mean right now, whatever the context is in life. The group that maybe is bending the rules in business, or the group that is using an enhancing substance in sports, say, or something like that. It might seem like their short-term gain. You know, but think of humility as investing in futures. You know, the Lord recognizes that. And he deals with the pride. It always, as I said, leads to humility. Verse 20, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. The Lord will bless those things. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Man, will be joyful, right? Not circumstantially, not today's a good day and tomorrow's a bad day. But if your faith and trust is in the Lord, you'll be filled with joy. You'll be filled with peace. Verse 21, the wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are persuasive. And I'll read this again in the New King James. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Okay. Hear this verse, guys. Yeah, I really don't care what side of our current issue that you're on. Pleasant words are persuasive. You know, this is where I wish we could have some discussion. You know, how many times were you presented with the gospel, or were you presented with an opportunity to go to church, or were you told, you know, I mentioned earlier about saying you're a Christian, and there's some assumption how certain groups are going to receive you or not receive you. I think of, might as well bring up a real controversial issue, but gay pride parades, something like that. And the God-loving, God-fearing Christians that stand out there with a sign or a scripture or say hateful things. I think they lack understanding on this verse. You know, pleasant words are persuasive. It doesn't mean sweetness of lips increases learning. We talk about Paul reasoning with people, giving them good reasons to believe. I think, okay, best example, apologetics. Why you believe what you believe, defending your faith, the ability to do that. I see people that get visceral and they want to win the fight. And then I think of men like Ravi Zacharias, probably one of the best examples. You can Google him and go on YouTube and watch these environments that he goes into. Hostile environments where people want to attack and people want to argue and they want to win. And you know what? They go in there and they want to hate that guy. Or they do hate that guy. And then he responds with such kindness and such love and such respect and hears them. And then, you know what? He says everything that needs to be said from the scriptures. He doesn't cower down. He doesn't water it down. He doesn't shun any of the truth. But he delivers pleasant words. The New American Standard puts it like this: the wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. So what's our goal in those situations where there's disagreement? To win the argument or to win the soul? In this proverb, where it talks about that even our enemies will feel. Like I said, people go into those situations with Ravi Zacharias and they want to hate him. And maybe they leave not in full agreement. But if you track those people or you interview those people, it's like, you know what, I kind of like that guy. And what can the Holy Spirit do with that down the road? Even if they leave that day not in agreement. But somebody spoke truth. And that sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Consider that. Verse 22, discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who possess it. But discipline is wasted on fools. Or understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. But the correction of fools is folly. Verse 23, the heart of the wise, or from a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. New King James, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. There is a biblical gift of encouragement that is so desperately needed today. Inside the church, outside of the church, I tell you what, if you're in any position of leadership within the church right now, you are probably taking shrapnel from both sides. I know I am. Kind words, those that have the gift of encouragement, that I've had people this week that I've never heard from before, or very rarely, or say hello, but the Lord has laid it on their heart to do something. And as men, I've had that happen. The Lord has laid something on my heart. You got to reach out to that person. You got to encourage that person. And more often than not, it's like, that's a really good idea, but there's no follow through. You know, it seems like, I should do that. And then I forget about it. It's a gift that's precious and necessary. And I've been ministered to this week. Not from other pastors, but from people with that gift that have reached out and just said, hey, I don't know where you stand. I don't need to know where you stand, but I'm praying for you right now. I know the weight of this. And that those words have been like honey. You know, so you may not have a title in a church, or you may not have a specific role. You may not even be in church. But this says, sweet to the soul, healthy to the body, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. It is healing. So encourage you guys to step out in obedience and do that. I'm not, that's not a plea for myself. It's not what I'm talking about. But as the Lord lays those things on your heart, look around you. I guarantee you, if you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, would you show me who needs a kind word today? Who needs some encouragement today? And maybe dig through the Psalms in the morning and find something encouraging and just speak scripture to them or just encourage them in some small way and watch what it does to their countenance. See how it heals. See how it refreshes. Verse 25, I don't want to miss this. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Right? Or there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This direction I'm heading in, this is. I'll speak way less on this than I want to. I'll just say that, you know, this path that I'm on, where does it lead a week from now? Where does it lead 3 months from now? What is the impact of where I'm going a year from now or 5 years from now? Or look at other men or other women that have gone down this path and maybe have gone a little further down the path that you're on. And what does their life look like? Those things they've invested in and those things that they've pursued. What's the payoff at the end? What am I going to reap? Verse 26, it's good for workers to have an appetite. An empty stomach drives them on. We read that in the scriptures. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. 27 through 30, kind of an important section. I'll go through it quickly even so, but it talks about stirring things up. And again, this is mentioned in the next proverb as well, so we'll cover it in a little more detail there. But scoundrels can create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Violent people mislead their companions, leading them down a harmful path. With narrowed eyes, people plot evil. With a smirk, they plan their mischief. New King James, I'll just read through that. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Whisperers, that's terrible, right? And it's so easy to do, and it's so tempting to do. At times, right? We just say this or say that or plant that seed and it starts stirring contention and bitterness and all that poison that God hates. Or we let this slip to make that person look a little bit worse than us, you know, and in turn maybe elevate us a little bit. And we already read what God thinks of pride and our intent behind those things. Don't do it. A violent man entices his neighbor, leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eyes to devise perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil, kind of the wink-wink of what we're doing. Verse 31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life. Verse 31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness, certainly relevant. I could get into people not being able to go to hairdressers and roots and all that right now, but I won't. Because it's not just gray hair, right? It's not just because somebody has gray hair that somebody's old, that they should have a crown of glory or that they should be respected, right? But it's longevity in the way of righteousness. It's longevity in living a godly life. The longer we walk with the Lord, the greater the crown of glory. You know, the greater the wisdom. So, verse 32, better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than conquer a city. New King James, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Or again, better to have self-control than to conquer an entire city. Verse 33, we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. Or the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. So much here in this Proverbs, guys. And my prayer is that the Lord's word will speak and that you allow it to lead you. And shut off all the other voices, because none of them matter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the reminder. I don't know why it amazes me, but it does. The relevance of the scripture for today, where you've led us in this, in our, seems like, million-year journey through your word, is just so rich. Lord, we drag our feet through some of it that we wouldn't miss anything. But you timed this out, that we'd be in this passage today and the passage we were in on Sunday. And Lord, remind my brothers and sisters that Sunday's Mother's Day, and that we just be mindful of all this and focus on the things that are the most important. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. That was a gift, the Mother's Day reminder. Thank Amazon, you still have time. Grace and peace, church.